You're listening to the Luddite Lounge, where we're serving up news, views, and how-tos for the digital world we've all come to depend on, whether we like it or not. Hey there! Glad you could join me today in the Luddite Lounge. I'm Elizabeth Crisfalusi, publisher of the Tech for Luddites blog and chief Luddite. This is episode 4 of The Lounge, and I'm very excited to have my first ever guest on the show. And I'm especially thrilled that it's Ryan Downey, also known as the Streaming Advisor, who's here to talk about all the updates, announced and rumored, happening with the biggest names in streaming media players. If you want to stay on top of all these happenings, I definitely recommend you check out Ryan's website, thestreamingadvisor.com. So let's get started. You can find show notes with related links at ludditelounge.com/episode4. Well, welcome, Ryan. So you are the first ever guest on the Luddite Lounge. So I hope that makes you feel suitably special.
Oh, I'm very excited.
And you publish the Streaming Advisor website, which is very cool. It covers like way more about streaming than I could ever cover as a section on Tech for Luddites. How long have you been publishing your site?
We just celebrated 2 years.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so as you kind of alluded to this earlier, this is turning out to be an incredibly busy season for streaming media announcements. We've already had both Apple TV and Amazon Fire TV have already made their announcements at big events, part, you know, in conjunction with announcing other products. But still, they had big news for their players. Google's having an event at the end of this month where they're going to be introducing the next version of the Chromecast. And then there's also, I think it's a fairly well-regarded rumor that there might be a new Roku coming before the end of the year as well, a Roku 4. So if all of this is true, well, even with what we've had already, this is going to be a big season for you.
Yeah, it was kind of exhausting. To tell you the truth, though, I was glad that Apple and Amazon announced their stuff within a week because I really didn't want to have to keep covering rumors. I hate covering rumors because, you know, you'll notice, you know, some of the stuff is true, and at least a third of it usually isn't.
Right.
And, like, you know, one of the things I was so surprised about with Apple TV was they kept saying a slimmer model, and you get this, you know, speaker-sized thing from Apple TV. But in general, yeah, this is going to be really busy. I don't know so much about the Roku 4 stuff. I haven't seen a lot that was straight on. You know, the last thing I read just said they probably will. I mean, why not? It's sort of like the take on it.
Okay. Well,
they ought to, because everybody else has, but...
Cool. Well, before we actually sort of compare them all, I just thought maybe we could go through each what I'm calling, I call them the big four, and go through them and just talk a little bit about what we do know and what we suspect, and then we can come back to, again, more of a discussion of the space in general.
Sure.
So we'll do it in the order of how they kind of announced themselves. So a couple of weeks ago was the big Apple TV announcement. Kind of some of the high level big things coming out with the new model. They're going to have a new remote that has a touch screen and motion detection. You've already mentioned the fact that it's going to support Siri. They're investing in a big app store, so there's going to be a lot more content available for it. Some behind the scenes performance enhancements. But the one thing that they didn't announce that some people were surprised about was no support for 4K yet. So with all of that, what are your initial impressions about the Apple TV announcement?
Well, I felt like the announcement, like they were announcing a product that wasn't done, because you notice if you watch the announcement, you really didn't see the App Store.
And right.
9to5 Mac had a, you know, one of the best reviews of the Apple TV that I've seen. Because they didn't just sort of parrot what was announced in the press event, which most people do. They just, you know, I don't know why, but they would say, yeah, we got hands on with the Apple TV. Here's that game with the baseball bat, and it has the remote, and it's going to have an app store. But 9to5 Mac did a great job of really showing it, and they made the point. They said, well, the App Store really doesn't have a lot right now, but within the next month, we expect to see it grow. So if Apple makes a real effort on the App Store, that's going to be tremendous, because that was one of the main criticisms of the product in the first place.
Yeah, they're, compared to their competitors, they were definitely lacking. I guess the whole point of the announcement was that they were opening this up to developers so that they could now make the apps. And I'm not a person who's really into the whole app ecosystem at all, or Mac ecosystem, I should say. But my understanding is, because they're both running on iOS 9, the Apple TV, and, you know, all the mobile devices, that a lot of developers who have existing apps for phones and tablets won't have to do that much work to make them work on the Apple TV, which is why they're saying, well, it might not take that long to start getting, a good library of apps available.
Something that I think is really cool about it is because the remote has the motion sensor,
right?
That means that tablet apps will port over easily. And something I want to see is, does this make an impact on social gaming? Because, gaming is one of the things that they're pushing, but they're not trying to push to compete. They're not trying to pretend to be the PlayStation 4 the way that, say, the Google Nexus player did.
Right.
Wow. And so there's a whole lot of people out there who play things like Farmville and Candy Crush and these fun little time killer puzzle type games. And you're going to be able to use those on Fire TV, it looks like. Or not Sun, I'm sorry.
The Apple TV.
Yeah, I make that thing before. But by doing that, I think that's an ingenious move. And I'm really curious to see if that will work. I don't have a game system, but I do play a game called Monsters Legends regularly. And it's just an iPad game.
Right.
And so, I think that between that and just the App Store in general, I think that's the big deal. It looks like a beautiful system, and I like the way that Siri works on it.
So you brought up a couple things. So first of all, I'm not a gamer at all. I don't do any of them online. I used to play Scrabble. That was it. I've never gotten into the Candy Crushes or the Angry Birds or any of the big ones. I know a lot of people do, obviously. So if they can now start doing that on their TV instead of just on their phone or their tablet, I'm sure that's going to be a big selling point. But then the other thing that the whole Siri thing. Now this is another thing. And it's in some ways it's funny that I even cover streaming media, because there's so much of it that I don't care less about. And to me, all of this voice stuff has virtually no value to me. I mean, I have the Amazon Echo because I got it at a really good price and I wanted to test it out. But, I read all these reviews about how wonderful it is, and I just don't get it. And the Amazon Fire TV has had a certain amount of voice control for a while. It has the search capability, and I almost never use that either. So it's weird, because these things that everybody's making a big deal about are things that I don't really care about. But what kind of things, you said you're interested in how, or you like how Siri is working with it. So what's an example of something that you think is good?
Well, the thing that they're doing different with the new generation, both Amazon and Apple, is before the voice searches for, the Fire TV and, say, the Roku, were almost exactly the same as typing. But now, you get a serialized show, or so something that had a billion episodes, like Seinfeld, right?
Right.
If, shows like that lend themselves to conversations. Like, do you remember when Elaine had, there was that mannequin and it looked just like Elaine and it freaked her out? Or do you remember the episode about the guy with the TV guides? Like, you can actually go in and say, show me the Seinfeld episode about the Elaine mannequin.
Oh, see,
and it will find it, and you don't have to go through IMDb or something like that and find what's in it. And see, that's different, and that's kind of cool.
Actually, that's really it's really funny that you say that, because yesterday I happened to be I was in the Hulu app, and I was just sort of scrolling through it, and they had I saw that they had old episodes of Scrubs, which was a show that I really liked.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was going through the episodes and I was looking for a specific episode, like, scrolling through them, but none of the descriptions matched what I remembered about the episode. But now that you say that, maybe I could go in and say, hey, show me the episode where Carla found out that she was pregnant.
Right.
Oh, that's very cool.
Show me the episode where Turk talks about being on the college magazine twice.
But so this is why I'm glad I've got you on the show, because I don't pay attention to some of these things because I haven't used them a lot, and I don't have, I mean, this is your area, so you can really delve deep into it. So that's a really great insight that I didn't know. Another thing about the Apple TV, though, I'm very curious on your point of view on this, which is the new price point. I guess we're going to have two different models with different amounts of storage, and one will be $149 and the other is $199. That's significantly more expensive, not only than their current model, even before they did the big steep discount, but than any of their competitors, particularly the Roku. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on, is what they're going to be offering worth that extra money? Or is it just because they're Apple and they can get away with charging whatever they want because Apple people are going to buy Apple products?
I think you might have hit it right there. You know, Apple always has this premium, kind of premium attitude. We are Apple. You know, they might as well just have that on top of the Apple store. Might as well say, we are Apple, we're expensive because we're better than everybody. Because people definitely buy in. Apple never pushed the Apple TV the way that I thought they should have. But look, when you talk about, you know, why would somebody buy it, or, you know, or Apple people, these sorts of things are really amazing accessories for Apple products. They're nice products standing on their own, but I think that they might be able to get away with the price point just by saying, you know, look at all the things you can do if you're using your iPad with this, or your new iPhone's going to do this and that with it.
I have to admit,
I really think that it's too expensive. I wouldn't be surprised to see the price of at least one model, like the $149, drop to $100 after a month or two of it being out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. One of the things I like, I don't use my Apple. I have all four of the big four because I was writing about them. I needed them to learn about them. And I never really used my Apple TV for very much. The one thing now that I have been using it for is the AirPlay feature. I found that really handy for when there's no, none of the services have an app for a certain, say, TV network, but you can stream. I can stream it on my iPhone, and then I can AirPlay it to the Apple TV. So I think that's good. But I'm also wondering, like, again, about this price point, especially since they're not. Now, I mentioned earlier how there are certain things that I don't care about, and, you know, like gaming. I don't know anything about it. I don't care about it. Another thing that I really don't care about is the 4K thing. I mean, I don't even stream most of my stuff in high def, because I don't see enough value to it to use up that extra bandwidth and you know, slow down the performance. But it is a big deal. Everybody's talking about it. So the fact that Apple TV is not going to have that, I would think that's really going to hurt them, especially with this, you know, premium pricing.
Well, it all depends on how many people start buying 4K TVs. Right now, hardly anybody has one. In a way, it makes it not future-proof.
I expect there's going to be a really big push on them in this year's Black Friday, you know, madness. Maybe I'm wrong about that. And like you said, the whole future-proofing, maybe, you know, maybe it's not right now, but it's coming. So I just thought it was interesting when they're missing something that most people are talking about as an important sort of future technology. They don't have that, and yet they're going to charge so much more than everybody else. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
What I really expect to see the price come down, because Apple isn't immune to that. Yeah, they'll release something at one point, and then, you know, all their customers, their fanboys will buy everything up immediately, and then whoops, 2 weeks later it goes on sale. I mean, it's probably going to get burned on it. I'm gonna buy an Apple TV when it comes out for exactly the same purpose. I want to review it. I want to see it. I want to get it. I want to be able to keep up with it. But I have a feeling I'll pay $145, and then it'll go to, you know, $110
maybe
weeks later.
Yeah.
I guess it all depends on how much they sell it. I mean, if people are buying it up like hotcakes, they won't need to change it.
Yeah.
But something you've hit on a couple of times is what everybody is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've actually noticed, and it kind of chaps me a bit. Because what happens is these companies do a rollout, they put out press releases, and they have other bullet points, 4K, this, that, the other, you know, gaming. And you'll see almost every news site, even the big boys like the New York Times or CNN or the Washington Post, and they're just kind of parroting whatever was in the release. And that's something, I don't know whether it's because streaming isn't a big, big subject, but I see very little follow-up from most outlets. So that what you get is everybody fixating on something like, you know, plugging in headphones on a Roku remote or something like that, is that's something monumental. And it's just because it was the thing that was pointed out in the press release. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, but that could be. All right. So let's move on to the Amazon Fire TV. They just announced that one, I guess, last week. Wow. And so it's kind of the top lines on that. They are going to support 4K integration with Alexa, which, for people who don't know, that's basically Amazon's version of Siri. They're adding in a May Day feature, which is what you can get on some Kindle Fire tablets now, which is like live support if you need it. So, what were your initial impressions about that announcement?
Well, first off, I think the May Day move is brilliant. I love the idea. It saves so many grandchildren and nymphs, you know, and the children the problem of the parents going, I don't understand. And of course, I mean, that's why you sort of started your site. You know, I don't get it, you know.
Right.
But I really like that feature. I do like what they're doing with Siri. I'm confusing things again. Alexa. Like you said, it is really Siri, but
yeah.
I like what they're doing with Alexa, but I want to see it in action.
Yeah.
You know, just reading about it is one thing, but I want to play with it. You know, but it's supposed to do the same thing. You're supposed to go to specifically look for shows and things like that, you know, specific episodes. Because, you know, it connects up with the internet, basically. It's like, it's almost like it's using Google to find what you're looking for instead of just the regular search algorithm.
Right.
So something I think is going to be nice is that you can, you know, call up like a weather report or something like that. Because, you know, a lot of people like, you know, watching the news in the morning because they just want to see, is it going to rain? You know, what's it going to be like, or what's the traffic like? And this is going to be something where you can get that kind of information instantly. So you can wake up, have your coffee and say, you know, show me the traffic, you know, and your Highway 95 or whatever, you know, what's the weather going to be like today?
Yeah.
And you can get it, and then you don't have to listen to them talk about, you know, wife swap or something like that for 20 minutes before they get to the weather or whatever that you want to watch.
That's an interesting point. One thing I noticed after the announcement, almost immediately after the announcement, I noticed on the Amazon website that they were advertising the stick version of the Fire TV as being with a voice remote for $49, which is $10 more than, you know, the current one. And then a couple days later, I noticed that you could still get the Fire TV stick without the voice remote, with just the standard remotes, for still the $39. But I don't know if that was part of the initial launch, or if maybe they got some pushback on not having a $39 version anymore. And so they decided, okay, well, we will give people the option. Do you know if that was, it was always planned to have the two versions, or if it was maybe some sort of reaction to the response to the announcement?
Yeah, in fact, when they rolled out the announcement about, you know, being able to buy it with the voice remote, they actually said you're still going to be able to buy the one without the voice remote.
Okay, I missed that. So that's good to know. And I mean, I think that's smart, because that $39 price point is just so attractive. I mean, and for what you get for it, I mean, the Amazon Fire Stick is my number one streaming device that I use the most often. So, and because I, you know, I don't care about the voice remote, then that's a nice extra for people like me. So that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I got my dad one of those for Father's Day, the Fire TV Stick, $39 one. That's those are really, really good products for the price. Because I look at it and I compare it to something like the Chromecast, and I think, okay, I mean, you know, here's something that has all these apps and all these capabilities for $5 more than this guy does.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and you reported on this a couple of times on your site, was that the box version of the Amazon Fire TV disappeared from Amazon's website. And this was before they announced that they were going to be making new announcements. So there was a lot of discussion, well, does this mean they are coming out with a new Fire TV, et cetera? I have to say, my initial thought was maybe they're getting rid of the box version altogether, because the stick just does so much. You know, I have both of them, and there's really nothing in the box version for me that makes it worth the extra $50 or $60. But obviously I was wrong. They are coming out with a new box version as well, with a lot of extra features. But that stick is just such an incredible deal, I think. especially being so tied into like all the Amazon movies, and if you have a Prime membership, all the benefits you get from that. So
that's a nice interface. And there's a lot of perks. The big difference between the box and the stick is the processor and the ability to plug you plug the box into a direct network connection, like an Ethernet connection.
Right.
That's always more dependable for anything.
Yes, that's true. So if you don't have good Wi-Fi, that's makes a big difference. Well, let's move on to the Chromecast, because you mentioned, you brought it up in terms of, you know, how it compares to the Fire TV Stick. And I'm kind of the same way. It's like, okay, so there is going to be a new Chromecast announcement. What I'm seeing, and this now qualifies as rumor department because they haven't actually issued this, is that there might be an entirely new look to it, that it'll have better Wi-Fi and faster loading. But apparently there was a thread on Reddit where somebody who claims to work for Amazon and who works for Google and who works on the Chromecast has said that there's not actually going to be anything that the typical user would consider to be a major update. Do you know any more than that about what's expected for the Chromecast?
Well, we ran something. There was an FCC filing a long time ago, actually, that involved the Chromecast. You know, it was like, the big deal was, it looks like Google's working on a new Chromecast. And we found the same thing, that there wasn't anything particularly amazing about hardware or anything else that made what was coming out eventually look like a big upgrade. It's something I'm wondering about with this whole thing is there's conflicting announcements. There's information about a possible new Chromecast, yet also this Google Cast Audio.
Yes, that actually looks interesting because if I'm understanding it correctly, you can plug that into old speakers that you have as long as they have like a headphone jack, and that will let you stream music from your devices to them. I think that has a lot of potential, again, without having seen it or knowing exactly how it works. Yeah. The concept sounds like a winner to me.
Exactly. And what I have to wonder is this picture that we're seeing, those grainy, lollipoppy looking pictures that we're seeing.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's actually the audio thing and not a new Chromecast.
Maybe. I was wondering too, because I looked at those and I was like, really?
Yeah, why would they completely, utterly change the look once? Because that other one is branded very well.
Yeah.
You know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you change it completely?
Yeah. So again, though, so the Chromecast, I mean, actually, if they are coming out with better, like sort of behind the scenes performance stuff, that will be good. Because if anything, I find the Chromecast compared to the other devices just isn't as stable and reliable in terms of, having a good signal, good quality signal that syncs well. So if they're fixing that, that will definitely be good. And if apparently they're keeping the same price, $35. So again, that really appeals to the people who are looking for a less expensive option.
I think the Chromecast is a great other TV device. I don't think it's a good primary. For a primary, I want the interface that you get from the other, group of the big four.
Yeah.
But, I was talking to somebody last night with my wife. We were waiting for my daughter to do Girl Scouts. And she started talking to me about cable and cutting cable and things like that. And when I was explaining to her some options, she said, well, do I have to put that on all my TVs if I want to watch things from the internet? That'll get expensive. And I thought, I mentioned, you can always throw a Chromecast on, one or two TVs if it's not a primary because, you got a tablet. You've now got a way to watch things. Yeah. But, Chromecast is so much different than the others because it's really a receiver,
Yeah.
Fire TV, everything else, it's got apps on it. But you need something to watch something on the Chromecast besides the Chromecast.
And especially now that two of the other ones have their own stick versions as well. Anyway, I'm surprised if they're going to be making a big deal about something that doesn't seem like there's a lot going to be really noticeable. But again, rumors, who knows?
Well, if it has better Wi-Fi, I think that will be a push. Because you notice, they had to address the Wi-Fi issue finally, and they released that adapter.
Right.
To allow you to plug the Chromecast into a network. Because even some people who had the thing right next to their router, we're still having problems with it.
Right.
So, I think, to be honest with you, I think that will be the big push. But I mean, how much do they have to change? You know, it's still at the one of the top selling items in the electronics industry. I think it's number two or three on Amazon.
I also hope they come up with a better that they make it work better with the Chrome browser casting, because I find that's almost completely useless in terms of the lag. And, you know, the video and audio are always out of sync. And, you know, that is a great differentiator if they can get it working better, to be able to have basically anything on your Chrome browser mirrored to your TV. That's huge, but it doesn't work very well now.
Yeah, good call on that. Because ever since they started it, it's been an experimental thing or a beta feature. And I've been waiting forever to see them get that perfect.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just from entertainment to even just presentation device sort of things.
Right.
You know, that could be a really useful utility that has never really been worked out. They're just concentrating so much on just casting from a tablet or something.
Right.
The other thing that I wonder is, will they get a better integration for apps that you've got on your device and what can play on the Chromecast? I would love to see something like, if you've got 50 things that are compatible with the Chromecast on your phone, if you open up a Chromecast app, I wish it would just categorize it. Okay, here's your movie apps that you've got that are...
Oh, I did see one of the reports I saw said that the new Chromecast app itself is probably going to have enhanced sort of search features and stuff. So you're right, that would be a big help for people. So this could be an update that's good for people who already use the Chromecast and are aware of its problems. And so it's like, hey, for $35, I'm now going to get one that's going to solve some of my problems, if in fact it does. I don't know that it has a lot of extra, you know, unique selling proposition, as they call it, for people who don't have a box, who don't have a system at all and are kind of comparing among all the other ones.
Yeah, I think you're right. These sorts of things are just wonderful stocking stuffers.
Yes.
Especially if the person already sort of gets it.
Right, exactly.
You're like, hey, look, Grandma, look what I bought you. Okay, here's how it works.
Yeah,
you
cool.
Got a smartphone? No.
Yeah. as long as you've got something that you can actually cast from. Okay, so let's, again, now you already talked about this at the beginning of the episode, but let's go into a little more detail about the Roku 4. Now, you're saying... it's still very much in the rumor stage that they're going to do anything. And I agree. I have seen, you know, the things that I see mentioned, but again, on the rumor scale, are things like, you know, the 4K. That might be a big one for them. Obviously, better performance. Any one of them is going to benefit from better performance, obviously. But other than that, I'm not really hearing what people are even guessing could be in a Roku 4, especially since the Roku 3, it wasn't that long ago that it came out. It's less than a year.
Well,
the new 3, which is a dumb way to do that. We'll call it the 3A.
Yeah. I found that so confused. Because, I felt like Roku made a great move when they went away from the letters. Roku,
oh, the XS Roku and the XD, yeah.
Because I made the point that, you know, how do you tell somebody what the difference between one and the other is if you're trying to explain it? If I worked at a store, it would be confounding.
Oh, when they in their early days, when I had my first, because my first Roku was an XS, which I still really love, and it has the composite option, which is, you know, a big differentiator for Roku over all these other ones for people who don't have HD TVs or have extra TVs that they want to use that aren't HD. There was a period where it was like almost every 3 months they had a new version of the Roku with a slightly different configuration. And then you had to sort of figure out, okay, well, this one now has the remote with the jack, but now that one has the remote with the jack. And now this one has, you know, something different. This one has Ethernet and that one doesn't. It was really confusing. Now, when they came, I think when they did this last version, they did a good job of distinguishing between the different models, except for the naming. You know, keeping the same name as a previous model just didn't make any sense to me at all.
It caused confusion in the retail sector. Something that I looked at was Walmart. I would go to a Walmart and they would have a display, the new Roku 3 with voice control.
Right.
It would be like prominently advertised, but the thing that they had on the shelf was the old Roku 3.
Right, yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah, I went to a point of and making them open it. I was like, look, this isn't the same product that you're advertising. I said, well, yes, it is. It's like, well, no, let's take a look. And we'd open it up, and I said, look, the voice remote, this does not have a voice remote. This doesn't have a microphone. You know, I'd put them side by side. They had to be like, oh. You know, but they, I mean, the people there didn't even realize that they weren't selling what they were advertising. You know, when you call it all the same thing.
So assuming that a new one comes out, the assumption is it will be a Roku 4. And again, I don't know. I mean, because the Roku has multiple models. Is it going to be a Roku 4, you know, with one of them has this, you know, there's a Roku 4 with this many capabilities and then a Roku 4 with other capabilities? Or are they just going to let you still buy the 3, 2, 1 and the stick? Who knows?
Well, like, if they took everything off the market and rebrand, like, you know, if they had a new Roku 1 and a new Roku 2, and it was a matter of the price point.
Right.
It would be okay, but you know, but what you run into is like you go to a forum or a Facebook group and someone says, well, I've got the Roku one. But when they say the Roku one, they might be talking about the original Roku.
Yeah, the whole thing. They did a very poor job on that part of the branding. But having said that, it's still, you know, they have such an advantage in terms of the channels that they can offer, in terms, especially on the entertainment side. Like Amazon Fire TV and Apple TV, the new one at least, will have a lot more sort of the casual gaming apps probably. But in terms of the sheer number of, you know, video and TV show channels, Roku's got them all beat.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, Roku, you know, I sort of compare Roku to, you know, like if you think of Amazon and Apple like exclusive stores.
Mm-hmm.
Roku is more like a mall with a bunch of stores in it.
Right, and that's one of their advantages because they don't have their own content, you know, interest. You know, Apple TV is obviously, they push iTunes, Amazon pushes instant video. But Roku is agnostic in terms of the content provider, so they'll open to anybody pretty much, especially when you throw in all the private channels.
Right. Oh, yeah, I think the private channels is the coolest thing because there are cloud-based programs that, I mean, you could just sit down and grab content up and spit it out there as a private channel.
Yeah,
and I'd put it on my website on the private channel section and it'd be the Tech for Luddites private channel.
Exactly. I mean, it's very cool that they have that. So there's nothing else, though, that you're hearing about if they do announce a new version. There's no other, you know, big feature that you're hearing about that might make the cut?
I'm gonna do some writing on it. I'm gonna do some brainstorming myself because, you know, I mean, I had to laugh one time. I wrote an article about Roku, gosh, almost a year ago, and you know, saying maybe there's going to be a Roku 4, right?
Right.
And so I put it out there, and like people, for some reason, nobody else was writing about it at the time. And about a month later, I started seeing a number of websites reporting that there are people saying that a Roku 4 could be on the way with these features. And I mean, no joke, it was the stuff that I had said.
Yeah.
I said, oh my God, I'm other people.
Yeah. You're the they are the inside source that they refer to.
I know. I mean, they know nobody even talked to me.
A source who refused to be named.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the dangers, with, especially with the tech reporting, is there's too many possible sources or some, you know, people who are close to the project. And you know, and you might notice a lot of that stuff turns out to be bullocks.
Yeah, and I mean, you were, I mean, infamously maybe, you were actually doubting or you weren't convinced that the Apple announcement was even going to include a new Apple TV because they have such a history of hyping up things that never come to pass.
Oh yeah, yeah. The sites. I mean, they've been calling for a new Apple TV for 3 years. You know, not Apple, of course, but the rumors. They're
right.
Saying, oh, there's going to be a television set.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be, you know, there's going to be this, and then even in the summer. Oh, this summer announcement. It's going to include the new Apple TV and a streaming service.
Yeah.
Whatever, mind. But in the fall they're going to announce the streaming. Well, maybe never mind. I mean, yeah. I mean, it just everybody wants to be first.
Right.
No, but people don't care about accuracy. They care about being first.
Right.
And I think that that's a problem.
Yeah, especially in sort of the consumer electronics arena where, you know, there are a lot of changes all the time. There's always something new being introduced. But if it's, you know, they get people so worked up about what to expect. And then it's like this huge disappointment when they make the announcement.
They set whoever it is up for failure.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, I thought thought it was going to have 3D without glasses. I mean, you know, it's like, well, we never said that that was going to exist. Yeah. Some guy made it up and put it out there. Yeah, I would hate it if I was one of these companies. I mean, the expectations for the Apple TV was going to be like, this is going to be the most monumental device that's ever come out. And then they've released, you know, what looks like a good device, and people are bashing it because it doesn't have all of the made-up features that people have been rumoring for 2 years.
Exactly. Okay, so now that we've kind of looked at all four of them and what we know for sure is happening and what we think might be happening, how do you sort of see the, just limiting to these big four, basically, the market shaking out? Because obviously there's going to be a big push around the holidays with all of these. So, you know, what are your thoughts on what's going to make it? Is it going to change, you know, who the leader is in the market now? Who is the leader in the market now? It's Roku, right?
There are more people buying Roku devices at the moment.
Yeah, they knocked Apple TV out.
Fire TV is the fastest growing.
Which one is?
Fire TV is the fastest growing.
Right.
But right now, Roku has become kind of the household name as far as this goes.
Right.
The Kleenex or Vaseline.
Because they don't have anything else. I mean, they're not, you know, they don't have other product lines that they're trying to brand with Roku. So that's good for them.
Yeah, and they're being really smart in the way that they're licensing. You know, they're working with TV manufacturers and putting their operating system on televisions. Things like that. Some people can get that confused. They say, you know, Roku makes TVs. Roku doesn't make TVs. They don't make TVs any more than any other smart TV platform does.
Yeah, but it's really just like having a built-in Roku in the TV as opposed to having a separate unit.
Yeah, the companies say, like TCL, say, hey, you know, we want to have a Roku version of our TV along with an Android TV version of our TV. Yeah, Roku right now is the hottest, the leader, the established leader, while Fire TV is the hot product.
Right.
Especially the Fire TV stick. And, you know, and Apple has always been there. Apple's got, I think there's more people with Apple TV units, even the old ones, than any other product. It just isn't selling as much because, I mean, it's been out for a long time. And I think that it kind of peaked.
Well, it was one of the first ones.
Yeah.
That had as much fun, you know, when it was launched, it actually was like, wow, look at all these channels you can get, you know, all these apps you can get. And then because they didn't do anything more with it for a long time, it was like, wow, is that all the apps that you get with it? It's kind of funny how the exact same device kind of went from hero to zero in a couple of years.
But I think that Apple will get a big push. But with everything, with two new products coming out at the same time, basically, I think the interesting thing to look at would be how much money does Amazon make by getting people to get Prime? And that's their whole thing. That's why they make everything so cheap.
Yeah, it's to sell you on the content.
The $50 Kindles.
Right.
You know? I mean, they want you to go out and buy that Kindle and then say, you know what? Instead of going to Best Buy and all that traffic, you know, on Black Friday, I'm just going to sit here with my brand new Kindle and my one year of Prime, and I'm going to do all my shopping with this.
Yeah, exactly. They're, you know, it's a totally different model, but it's obviously very successful for them.
It's sneaky. Amazon is like the ninja, you know, of this world, because the competition did not see them coming.
Right.
I mean, Walmart and all these places had the Amazon Fire stuff, the Fire tablets, you know, loaded up, you know, 1 year, and now people are using, you know, people are walking into Walmart with their Fires and going, hey, will you match this price?
Right.
You know, I can get this cheaper on Amazon.
Yeah, and one thing I found really interesting was the new Apple TV. That was like for like 2 weeks before it was actually announced, there was a ton of press about it because they knew about the event. This was what everybody was hoping they would announce a new Apple TV, and they had indications that they might. So there was a lot of sort of pre-launch hoopla. The Amazon TV, and which was paired with the Kindle Fire upgrades, that just seemed to happen. It was like I think it was last Thursday or last Friday, whatever day that they announced it, I had heard nothing in advance. I mean, other than the sort of speculation that because the Fire TV box wasn't available on the store, people were speculating, but it didn't have that same level of hoopla in advance. It was just like, oh, okay, so Apple announces, well, look, A week later, we've got this, and we've got 4K. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, honestly, I think that they were always planning on doing 4K and had maybe had a little prior knowledge that Apple wasn't.
And so they held off.
They held off instead of releasing first.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's not like they went out and made a new Fire TV a week after the Fire, Apple TV was announced. They've had this all this time. And I think the big thing is that, Amazon just doesn't hold as many of those big events. I'm trying to remember the last one that they did, where there was really announcements and, Jeff Bezos.
The Fire Phone. The Fire Phone. Maybe that's why they don't do them anymore.
I think that the Fire TV is probably going to be the hottest seller, but Apple TV might have a real shot because it's going to be the first time in a long time that they've released something. Like I said, and then Apple is finally making the push. They put the Apple TV on their website finally. It was always there, but it was never under the same categories where things like the iPod was or the Mac computers. You always had to just kind of search for it.
Right.
And now it's right at the top of the screen, Apple TV.
Right.
So they're obviously planning to make a big push. I can't wait to see them kind of analyze the way they advertise it, the commercials and things like that. Because, when people come in, if I'm an Apple store employee, everybody who comes in to buy the new iPhone or something like that, I want to say, hey, you like sports. You can get ESPN3 through the Apple TV. I mean, just things like that. I would just push. And I think that they can move some units because people are used to overpaying at Apple.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the, like you said, the whole fanboy thing. So they're not going to have trouble selling them for sure. So I've actually taken up more of your time than I said I would, but I do want to sort of close out with one final thought from you, which is when people who have not done any streaming or new to the whole idea of it or just getting into it, sometimes they'll ask me, well, I can't read all this information. It's too much. So what would you say is the best solution? This is my answer. Go with the Apple TV if you're already embedded in the Apple ecosystem. If you're all iPhone, iPad all the time, go with Apple TV. If you're not, then go with the Fire TV Stick because of exactly what we talked about before, this incredible value for the money, very good general purpose at a very good entry-level price. And then you can sort of see how it works. And if you want to later pick up something else, then do that. Roku is if they've got, I would say the Roku over the Fire TV Stick, if there are specific types of content, niche specialty content that you really like, you probably have a better chance of finding it on Roku. And if that's the case, then that extra, $60 isn't going to be a major turnoff if you're getting the content that's important to you. And then I say, well, Chromecast, the only reason I would ever recommend Chromecast would be if there's a specific app that they support that none of the other ones do, which is probably is the case because there are a number of apps that there's tons of apps that I have no idea what they are. And because it's so low priced. But I mean, if you were going for general purpose, I would always choose the Fire TV Stick over Chromecast for what we discussed before. So that's kind of my rationale. What would you advise to people who have never used streaming devices? What would be different from what I said or would it be different from what I said in your point of view?
What I would say is, for one, if someone was new to streaming, they're probably not heavily invested in any ecosystem. So I would jump right from, the intro level thing would be a Roku. I always recommend the Roku 3 because it's just faster and stronger.
Right.
But if somebody was like, I want to get into this cheap, I would say, get a Roku 1 or a Roku streaming stick. And then you can sort of get used to the idea of streaming services. The only reason I would disagree about the Fire TV Stick is, like you said, it's a fantastic, and I love it. If you're not already invested with it, if you don't have Amazon Prime, the whole menu, have you ever turned on a streaming stick or the Fire TV without being signed into Prime?
That's a good point.
It looks very barren.
Yeah.
And it can be confusing to someone who is new to it. They'd be like, well, wait a second, what do I have to do to get this?
Yeah, it's true. One thing that they don't do well is that all the other devices, for example, Netflix is already pre-installed on all the other devices. You still have to sign in and, authenticate yourself. But on the Fire TV, both the box and the stick, first you have to download the app, and install it, which is again, for people who aren't technically inclined or are already sort of confused about what's going on, that's an extra step that I don't know why they make them do that when obviously most people are going to want at least one. Again, obviously the Amazon Instant Video is tightly integrated, which makes sense. So, okay. So I see what you're saying with the Roku. What's that?
Yeah, Amazon wants you to get their thing, like I said, while Roku doesn't have a Roku Media movie show player.
Yeah.
It's just to me, Roku is just the easiest thing to jump into. You know, if you can, because you know you can, it's got that whole channel store. Their channel store is better than anything out there. It's just more intuitive. It's better categorized. So yeah, so I think Roku is the best intro. The Chromecast, I would say, would be something more for people who are already streaming, who have smart devices, and like I said, it makes a great alternative thing. It makes a great study. You know, you put on Pandora with your Chromecast, and you know, you're listening to it through your TV while you're doing something else. You know, it's a good dorm room sort of thing. Yeah, that kind of thing.
That's cool.
What I really want to see about Apple TV is how well it stands on its own. Because people always say if you've got it integrated, you know, if you've got a lot of Apple stuff, but like you know, if somebody does like Apple products, the Apple TV is a huge winner because of AirPlay, like you said.
Yeah, AirPlay is fabulous.
I mean, anybody who has, you know, an iPhone and an iPad, I say, you know, you ought to see an AirPlay, you know, and I show them, you know, and they often buy Apple TV after that because it's such a cool feature.
Yeah.
And I think the new Apple TV is going to be kind of amazing as it grows. I think we haven't seen even much of the potential. I think, you know, especially if they release that service, you know, that has been rumored for a while.
Yeah, that's going to be a big question mark still. Maybe we'll do a separate show on that in the future.
Oh, yeah, when it comes out, I'd be glad to do it. But when I think of Apple TV and whether they have that service is, did you notice the way the market reacted when Apple was the exclusive home of HBO Now? The Apple TV went from being something like number 12 or 13 on Amazon to number 3. Boom.
Oh, yeah. Of course, now you can get HBO Now on all of them, so that benefit has dissipated. But
oh, yeah. But now they've got their new model coming out. But, you know, but that made an old product that had been considered, I mean, you know, every article was like, the stupid old Apple TV, which isn't even worth buying anymore, all of a sudden became a hot item on Amazon. I mean, show me another product that's been around for 3 years that all of a sudden went into top 3.
That's a good point.
And so, you know, so I think what they'll do is they'll get as much mileage out of releasing the new model as they can. And then, you know, when they make the big announcement, which I think it's coming. I just think that people are trying to jump the gun a bit. I think that, you know, this is a long process to work out.
Yeah, I think they found that it's a lot harder to negotiate with, because they have to negotiate with so many different, you know, players from networks to local TV stations to, you know, content producers. So the whole thing is, it's very complex, which is why, you know, the whole cutting the cord thing is so hard to explain to people and to, you know, you can't answer the question easily, can I cut the cord? Because it depends on what it is you want to watch on TV. And it's such a complex mess. Anyway, I really, really appreciate you talking to me today. You've raised a lot of things that I hadn't either thought about or I didn't fully understand the implications of. And I think it's going to be really useful for my listeners to sort of try and make sense. Because, again, we're all going to be hit with all of these as the holidays are coming up. And so hopefully this will give people more insight into what they should be looking for, what value it will bring to them. And so I really want to thank you. Oh, great. I have a plane going overhead. That's always nice when you're doing an audio recording.
Awesome.
But anyway, so I really want to thank you for taking the time to go over all this with me. And I'm sure I'm going to be inviting you back again in the future because you've got great insights that I know my readers will find really, my listeners and my readers will find really interesting. I will be, of course, linking to your site in the show notes with, you know, some of the different places that we've specifically discussed in this recording. But again, I just want to say thank you so much for being not only my first guest, but my best guest.
Hey. Well, I'm really glad I could do it. Like I said, you've got a great site. You do good work. It was one of the first things that I ran across that I really liked when I was when I first started researching the market of who was out there writing. And I appreciate your approach, Athena, and I'm not surprised to see how successful it's been. I think it's, you do a great job with what you do.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'm actually,
to be on your podcast.
No, thank you. I'm actually planning to be updating all my posts, partly because all these new products are coming out, but also just to, now that I've seen the types of questions people ask, I can reorganize them a little bit. But so great. Well, I will just sign off now. Again, it's been a great discussion and I look forward to hearing more from you. And I'm sure my listeners will love to go to your site, thestreamingadvisor.com, to get even more in-depth information on all these different options that are coming up.
And that's it for this episode of the Luddite Lounge. Again, you can find show notes with related links at LudditeLounge.com/episode 4. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Theme music for the Luddite Lounge is by Mark Glasgow at podcastthemes.com.